Hello, everybody. So if you brought a laptop with you and you want to play in the third round of this game, there's a little bit.ly link here for you. For those of you with impaired eyesight, it's 240VKUD. If you want to download that GitHub repo, put it on your computer, start poking around it. The third part of this is actually doing work, which I know sometimes baffles people that you come here and you actually see people code. I'm a really bad typist, so all of you will enjoy that part of the presentation. No, I'm kidding. I'm not a bad typist. I saw the face. You're like, oh my God, I'm gonna watch him type poorly. So thank you. Today is a talk about Xtag. I'm a really big fan of web components. I'm a really big fan of the web just in general. I have been doing professional web programming now for literally 20 years, since the web was, you know, very, very young. Where's my drink? There it is. That was back when it was
CGI scripts, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was awesome.
And Unix hosts.
Yeah, the Whopper. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Does anybody get the anyway? So yeah. So Xtag is this idea of web components is the idea of being able to build little widgets for your web pages, that have the same sort of surface area that you have from all of your normal HTML elements. When you type an input tag in your HTML or you type a div tag in your HTML, you're using predefined elements that are part of the HTML standard. What Web Components allows you to do is now make all of that extensible, and you can define your own elements, which is extremely powerful and game-changing, and obviously Microsoft thinks so because there is now a Microsoft-sponsored and supported web component library, Xtag, which was originally started by Mozilla. But we'll talk about that in just a moment. Everybody, you are free to talk to me during the presentation. Do not hesitate to speak. Thank you. All right. So we are at Houston.net Users Group. I am Curtis Schlock. If you really care to find out more about me, you can go to this website, curtis.schlock.com. That's me. That's built with web components as well. So that's me. I'm on everything as realists chuckle. But that's the boring part. Let's get to the interesting part. Let's talk about web components. Okay, so I'm just going to take you through a really brief history of web components. Okay, this is going to be fun. Everybody stand up, stretch out a little bit, relax, relax, relax. That feels so much better. Okay, so the story starts badly, unfortunately.
When it's for the browsers, it certainly does.
That's right, when it's, especially the browsers, right? So once upon a time, there were these fine things. Does anybody remember Java applets? That's right. You could sit there and wait for 3 minutes for an applet to download so that you could see text reflections ripple across the. I mean, we really used them for good power. This failed. This failed because the idea of having to install a Java runtime environment from Sun at the time, or Microsoft's weird Java implementation at the time, it was just very messy, very heavy, and all of this binary coming across didn't work very well. On the other hand, at the same time, Netscape was working with Sun, and they said, hey, it would be really great if we had a lightweight scripting language that you guys could use to work with our Java applets, but that scripting language nobody is really ever going to use. It's not going to be very powerful. That's called JavaScript, and I don't know if you guys know this, but it is most likely the world's most used programming language today. I say that.
From what I understand, there's still more lines of COBOL in production than any other.
But they're not actively being produced. Being maintained, and that's only because Uncle Sam bought them all. Which, by the way, he's right. All of the COBOL programmers are retiring. If you guys want another job, go learn COBOL. I mean, you can get curse. No. You'll have. All right, fine.
I've been avoiding putting that on my resume for years.
By the way, there is a COBOL.NET compiler. In case you want to use it, it is proprietary. It's commercial. You have to buy it. Yeah, but if anybody wants to work with me, I've been thinking about writing an open source COBOL.NET compiler. Anyone? Anyone? Yeah?
There's an assembly.NET.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, that's easy. There's an asm.js where you can write assembly for JavaScript. Anyway, stop it, everybody. This is JavaScript, not COBOL.
It would be interesting to see who you can get to go to a COBOL user.
But that's called a CUG. And that's just weird. Yeah, that's right. Oh, ageist. You're so ageist.
We have to give out Insure and our grand prize would be Depend.
All right, that's enough. Oh, how sad.
Hey, yeah.
Okay, up next was another great web technology. Jay?
You missed ActiveX controls.
No, I didn't. Okay. How was that? What? It is still alive, but it's a failure. And the reason I maintain it's a failure is because it's not really componentized for the web itself. All of this stuff, as well as the next one here, web form elements, all of these things happen on the server. And there's a lot of heaviness in terms of that postback. That maintains state on the server, and if you want to build really big websites or web applications that can perform and scale to lots of users, that state on the server thing will end up killing your app because you can't load balance, and if you do, then you have to have a shared cache, and if you have that, it's going to balloon up depending on the number of users you have. And so, in my opinion, these are also failures. But not only are they failures due to that, they're failures because they don't utilize the web itself. The thing that actually makes the web interesting, it's HTML. You know, I mean, that's Tim Berners-Lee, when he invented HTML without the image tag, mind you, no images in the original, thank goodness. We browsed fast back then.
Links